I greet you all in the name of our Lord and risen Savior. Coming here is always a special experience because there's so much of my life and my wife's younger life in this church. There's part of our hearts still here because some of the older couples here got to see us as young singles, young engaged, newlyweds, young parents, and throughout all that time, we got to feel your love and your prayers. And as years go by, come back, and it's still home. And looking around this morning, the first thought sitting here on this chair, the first thing I thought is we were young ones. But now, by God's grace, we are eternal. Because now everyone has moved one step up. We laid to rest Brother Wendell Goodman recently, and he's gone ahead of us, and he's waiting there for us. And now everybody moves one up. Now you're your grandparents, and very soon some maybe become great grandparents, and life progresses. But the blessing of the Christian life and being part of this family is that we get to enjoy each other's company while we're here. And that makes that reunion that much sweeter, whether it's tonight for some of us or whether it's years from now. He promised us that he would go ahead and make a home for us. And we believe him, and that gives us joy. So if you ask me why do I smile, it's because of what he's done for you and for me. And if you're outside the fold, I just can't wait to see you as part of the family. So we opened up to the book of Ezekiel here, and this is a great book because I have a son named Ezekiel, but also because he was privileged to be able to witness great and to share great messages and great visions of the future. And so let's read from Ezekiel 47. And the heading here says, the river flowing from the temple. And it begins, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eniglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. He shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their water shall they issue out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And we'll stop there at the 12th verse. Let's sing out of the Zion's harp number 236. Let us pray. Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for having brought us safely together in this afternoon hour to this special place, a physical and spiritual place where we can lay aside the cares and trials and tribulations of the week and find a couple of hours of peace and quiet and stillness, and to be able to look into the Word and to be reminded of how great thou art, and how though there may be turmoil out there in the world waiting for us once we leave these doors, that we are reminded that thou art in control, and there's a purpose and a reason for everything that happens, and there is a way that is that goes against our human nature, and it is through the door. And we are thankful that we have a Savior who is willing to leave the beautiful place in heaven at the right hand of the Father and came to live among men, to live a life that fulfilled all the promises and prophecies and markers of the Old Testament, and showed us the Father, showed us a loving Father, a Father that is holy and mighty, that has a standard, and yet that wants every single soul that is born to be with Him for all eternity. And the Son was willing to come down to live and to give His life ultimately as the perfect Lamb, so that we who are imperfect, we who are unworthy, we who don't belong in that beautiful place can be there, clothed in righteousness, not ours, but because of the gift of life, His shed blood, righteousness is imputed unto us because of the sacrifice of the Son. So we're thankful because we don't deserve it, but we joyfully accept this opportunity to be able to spend eternity with our loved ones who've gone before, who gave their lives in faith earlier, and who are there cheering us on and waiting us for us in the finish line. So we pray for an added measure of faith, strength, and courage each and every day, that we can have the courage and the strength to finish strong, to live according to Thy commandments in Thy way, as imperfectly as we do it every day. Then we reach for grace, and that fills our imperfections and our shortcomings. And we move on forward. We fall down, we get up, and we continue towards that final destination. Because ultimately, no matter who we are, where we come from, or what we do right now, that's the place where we all want to end up. So we give Thee thanks that we can do it. We trust the Word, and we believe that it's true, so we know that we can do it. So we give Thee thanks for giving us this faith and this conviction. And bless us through this afternoon. Bless us, lead us, and guide us through the Word. May the words that will be spoken be to Thy honor and glory, that they will point to Thee. So bless us in this sanctuary. Bless the children who are being taught and nurtured in the Sunday school room and their teachers. Bless our loved ones who might be traveling from this congregation. And for those of us who come from different places, that we will get home safely. If not to our physical home, then to our heavenly home. We love and give Thee thanks for being so kind and patient with us every day. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's continue our service into the New Testament. And I'll open here to the book of Acts. And let's read from Acts chapter 4. The heading says, Peter and John arrested. And the scripture begins, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that which all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We'll stop there. Brother Ken had asked me if I was willing to share some of my testimony before coming up. There's just not enough time. I've got half an hour, and there's just not enough time to tell of all the good things that God has done for me. But we have enough scripture here that maybe I can weave a little bit in and out. But mostly, my story points to Him. So having read the scripture, I can only point to Him. Because that's where my smile comes from. And see, I had to think about whether or not I would share my testimony. Some of you may know some of my story. Some of you have heard pieces. And I like that, because then the story gets passed around and then the legend grows, because people add things and they make my story more interesting. And so I would like to let the legend continue. But also because now I'm getting old enough that usually when I share my story, I just can't help but get emotional. And I've got a 14-year-old now, and I can tell it's kind of weird for him to see his dad cry, because I do cry just about every day. They just don't see it, but they're tears of joy, because there's certain points of the day when I'm reminded of something bad, but then I look and I see all the good that God has done, and I can't help but cry tears of joy. But I don't let them see that. I go to a different room. But they're there. And I thank God for them. And I thank God for you. So let's go back to Ezekiel. As I said, when we were deciding on each boy's name, third boy, we knew we were having another boy. So this was a very fitting name, or a name to live up to. A marker to shoot for. So he gives us an image, and he had the privilege of be given visions, and this is one of the visions that God shared with him so that he could share God's power and holiness with us. It says, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And so we got to pause here, because it gives us an image of we get a setting of where what he's seeing. So eastward is always, when Jesus left, the disciples saw him fly through the air and disappear into the clouds, but he promised that he would return to them from that place, and the place he's going to come from, it's always from the east. Just like the sunrise brings forth new hope for a new day, that's where the direction from where our Lord and Savior will come. And the temple was laid in such a way that the entrance of the temple faced east. So that's what he's seeing. So he's seeing the vision of, we see the physical layout of the temple, how we would see it if we were visiting as tourists. But what he's showing us is, as I said, we have the bass and the alto and the soprano. He's showing us what's the spiritual meaning of some of those things. And these are things that will be in the future. So it says, eastward, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Now, the way the temple was laid out, like in the time of King Solomon, there was an object in that specific spot, and it was called the sea. And it was made out of bronze, and it was like this, I mean, it was a pool. I mean, in the scale of God, it was a basin of water, but it was big. I'm looking at 1 Kings 7 here. There was a man named Huram that was commissioned. He was a man who could make beautiful things out of bronze. In 1 Kings 7, 23 says, "And he made this man a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under the brim of it round about, there were knobs compassing it, 10 in cubit, compassing the sea round about. The knobs were cast in two rows when it was cast." And then in 39 it says, "And he put 5 bases on the right side of the house and 5 to the left side of the house. And he set the sea on the right side." This is where I get this location here. "On the right side of the house, eastward." Remember, we're talking about facing east, "over against the south." So it's a different way of saying pretty much the same thing, pointing to this object. And it was a bronze pool that held about 10,000-11,000 gallons of water, and it was still. They called it the sea because it represents God's power over His creation. We were on vacation last week in the Atlantic Ocean. My boys were swimming in the sea, and the sea had waves, some big, some small, but it's in continual motion. And for people at that time, the sea held a lot of mysteries because they could not dive, could not see what was under, and they could not control it. They navigated by sails, and they were at the mercy of the winds. And we can read about some of the events in Acts, Paul sailing from island to island, and things that happened to him. And what this symbolizes is we might think of the sea and the things of the world going around us, the world falling apart, everything's in turmoil, but it's being deconstructed according to God's perfect plan. He can control the sea. And that's what this showed. This pool showed that God can control the sea. And the beautiful picture of it, it says in verse 2, "Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the other gate." So we're walking out by the way that looketh eastward. "He's walking out of the temple, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side." Now, in Ezekiel's vision, the sea has become a river. It's flowing outward now. Where it was in God's container, now someday in the future, and we will see this, it's going to flow out and become a river of life. And it's a river that gets wider and wider and deeper, and it changes the landscape of Israel. "And when the man had the line in his hand, went forth eastward, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters." The waters were to the ankles. Now, I have to stop here. We were at the Creation Museum couple days ago, and they had a little section there that showed where Noah got his measurements, because they tried to recreate the dimensions of the ark as faithfully as possible. And so there's different cubits. There's the regular cubit, which is about 18 inches, and I found out about the royal cubit, which is 22 inches. But you figured 1,000 cubits times 18 inches, so now we're going on 1,800 feet or so. And it's shallow water. The river is a distance of 1,800 feet where the water is up to the ankles. So we're starting to get a vision of how God's provision and majesty works, because water flows down through gravity, and then we are present where life itself, life eternal begins, because we have the gate first. Now, to enter into the presence of God in and out of the temple, to be able to stand in God's holiness, you have to go through the gate. And Jesus said, "I am the door." And so for us, in our walk into this river, which represents our spiritual life under the power of the Holy Spirit, it begins at the door. Then we see also, we have left the altar, which is a marker that shows us the altar is a place where sacrifice is made. And we also see a little glimpse of a marker of Jesus' eventual sacrifice as the perfect lamb. We continue into the water now, and the water is up to our ankles. And this is where we all begin spiritually. I want to give you, like, we were at the beach, and we got there at high tide, and we set our towels in a certain spot at water's edge. But as the hours went by, then the water started receding and the beach got wider and bigger. And so our boys were able to walk around and collect shells at a place that had been filled with water. And it went a long ways from where we started. Now when we first come in faith to Christ, we begin with water up to our ankles. My boys were playing, collecting shells, but to be able to get deep, deep into the water where they would have had to swim under their own power, there's no physical way they would have been able to leap from that spot all the way over there. So when I first gave my life to Christ, 1995, over 20 years, I'm very much a different child than I was back then. But I couldn't have made this leap to now unless I had had some changes and some learning and some growing and some bad experiences, with mostly filled with the good, so I could be here. So when we start at the ankles, I want you to think of a foundation. Because when we come to faith in Christ, He's not going to drown us. He's not going to overwhelm us. We have to start at the beginning. The ankles allow you to stand up and allow you to walk. If you ever have a twisted or sprained ankle, you know how important that ankle is. So think of Luke 6. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. So we build our foundation on the rock, and that's what we start walking on. And then we, God intends us to go deeper towards the water, because we're still babies in Christ. But at that level, we still have a choice to leave the water and go back. God wants us to come towards Him into the water, to trust Him that we're not going to drown. But we can still make a choice and leave the beach, or leave the water's edge, leave that place, and go back to our old ways. So we are still learning to trust Him. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to do it perfectly. And if you have a little toddler or watch a little baby begin their walk, they mess up a lot. They take a couple of steps and they fall down, but they get back up. And if we were using the same standard as adults, we would be failures. But they don't quit. They keep falling down and get back up. And their little ankles, as they walk, they get stronger. And eventually, they will walk without falling down. And that's how God intends for us to walk. That's why He made that area of beach so long, 1,800 feet, so that we can mess up a lot and fall down, but keep walking, because eventually the water's going to get to our knees, and that provides a different challenge. Now, the knees are going to help you run. If you ever have had a knee replacement or some type of injury to your knee, you realize that you need your ankles to walk, but you need your knees to run. And so eventually you will get strong enough that you will be able to run a little bit more. And then you got your toddlers there, your 2, 3, 4 years old, who just in an instant, like, they're there and then they're gone. And so we can run around. We have 1,800 feet of beach there. Think of this as a beach, or actually the water is getting deeper. But then there's more and more resistance. But as we walk around in knee deep water, then we start getting stronger. But God, throughout this, is going to follow a pattern where He's going to let you fall, He's going to let you get stronger, and He wants you to get very strong. But He wants you also to be under submission, to use that strength for the glory of His kingdom. And so, if you ever watched a little child learn how to walk, he's going to fall down. But the interesting thing about how they fall is that usually a toddler will fall straight down. It's like when they realize that they're going to fall, they just fall straight down. And that's how God wants us to fall. He wants to, when we think that we've got it in control, something's going to, and this is good advice even for adults, if you're ever like in a icy sidewalk or something, you do have a choice of how you're going to fall. I mean, you can fall on your face, you can fall back, but next time you feel like you're losing control in an icy sidewalk, try falling straight down. And you're going to fall on your rear, but you'll also fall on your knees, and that's what God wants us to do when things get hard, when we start getting resistance. Fall straight down on your knees and ask Him for your help. We were on vacation last couple of weeks, and you know, we had car trouble, and I spent all Friday night, I didn't sleep, I just spent my night on my knees, because as a father, I'm like, I've got little kids, we got our vehicle full of luggage, and we're having axle problems in the front end, and how are we going to get here today, and how are we going to do this and that, and it was one of those, like, Lord, I believe you, but help my unbelief, because I didn't know how it was going to work out, and God had taken care of it. Oh, we couldn't get a reservation in the hotel that everybody else was staying in, because it was a wedding weekend, and then it turns out that we stayed close to downtown, which made it close to the repair shop, and to the rental company, and everything was made so that even though we had spent the week before going up and down mountains, we didn't get stranded on the side of a mountain with this vehicle full of kids and luggage. Our car actually made it all the way to the repair shop, and it was a scary, like, last 100 feet. But stopped there to a place where we can get help. And we had made this reservation weeks ago, and God knew that we were going to need help, and so He put us close to where we could get help. And so we're going to make decisions in our life, and we're going to decide to go this way or that. But I have found in my own experience that when you stay close to the fold, to the family here, we are blessed and privileged as apostolic Christians. This is something that we should not take for granted, is that we're not alone. If we stay close to where we need help, we will get it. Because my wife sent out a message through our church messaging system, and that we needed prayers, and the prayers started coming in, and I feel ashamed that I didn't sleep Friday night, because I should have known better by now that He had it all taken care of, and He did. And here we are. So that's the knee level. Then we go to the waist. The waist, actually the hip, if you ever have had a hip injury and you can't get out of bed, every part of the body has its own special structure and also function. If you're hurt in the hips, it's very hard to get out of bed, to roll out, to actually stand and move. So it's a place, the core is a special place of strength. And again, God wants us to go deep water to our waist because we get some really great exercise and get really strong. But He wants that part of the body also under submission. If you think of Jacob wrestling with God, he was a strong man to be able to wrestle with God all night with the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate Jesus. So much so that the angel had to touch him in the hip and dislocate it because he was relying too much on self, on his own strength. And God had to take that part away from him so that he would walk with that staff for the rest of his life as a reminder that he couldn't do it alone. He needed the staff, God's rod and staff to help him stand up. And so he wants that part. And then we can read in Ephesians 6 about the loins girded about with truth as part of the armor of God. That's how God wants us. He wants us strong, but He wants us submitted and reliant on Him, not on our own strength. That's when we mess up. And then we continue into the water, and then we start going deeper and deeper, where eventually we get out where we are swimming. And that's the scary part, because we like to think that we're in control. We like to choose the destination where we're going to go. And I have found that if you let God, or you just keep swimming and let God take you to where He wants you to go, that's the easiest way. Because you waste a lot of energy just fighting against God's current if you try to do it your own way. And again, when we were trying to find this repair shop, I had left my wife and kids at the hotel, and I'm going to drive, got up early so I could be there first thing in the morning to the repair shop. And it was doing this really scary motion. I think this whole thing is going to fall apart because the front axle was just going boom, 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 boom like that. And I'm praying the whole way. And I told her, I'm just going to concentrate on getting this vehicle to the repair shop, and I don't need any directions. I can't look at anything else but the road. And so she told me, okay, to get there, you got to make two lefts and a right. And so I made the first left, but then I saw traffic up ahead, fast moving. I thought I should go that way. And instead of two lefts and a right, I made one left and one right. Wrong place, different place, but that's where God wanted me to go. I was trying to go this way, and God wanted me, because He had weeks ago already set aside a special place where He wanted me to end up. And it was the right place to get help. They said, this is really bad, but we can fix it with the right part. It can be taken care of. And so we fight God and expend a lot of energy. And swimming is great exercise, but a lot of times it's just easier to just, when you get tired, you just float and then let God guide you. You're going to end up in the right place every time. And to you, you think you messed up, you're a failure, and things didn't go right. But I can tell you from experience that they go exactly according to God's plan. It's up to you to realize when you get there, to look back and thank God for keeping you from making a bigger mistake and trusting Him and letting you land in the right place. And it's not going to be easy. You're going to become an Olympic caliber, spiritually champion swimmer when you get older. And I'm not there yet. But you're not going to get the gold medal every time. And that's what we see. I just have 5 more minutes. I'm going to stretch it 5 more minutes. We see in the book of Acts, you think that Peter and John, apostles, they knew Christ. They shook His hand. They, you know, probably hugged Him, and they were there. And then you think, well, these guys are special. Nothing bad is ever going to happen to them because they got a special mission. They got to share the good news of Christ and salvation. And so things are going to go smooth all the way to the finish line and make it. But no, they get arrested. You're going to face opposition. All of us. we should not be shocked when it happens. We should expect it. But with the things I have learned through by reading in the Word is that if you let God help you, then the kingdom will be glorified and you'll become a stronger swimmer. On the way to in our trip, we were listening to these recordings of missionary stories. And there were two really interesting stories, and I'll share with them really quick. I've got 5 minutes. One was of a Russian gentleman during the communist era. And he was a good communist. He was a factory worker. But he had, this is probably back in his 60s, and so he was a man that had been old enough that he remembered going to the Eastern Orthodox Church. Remember going to church as a young child. And then he's got a teenager now, and he's thinking, he's going to go out in the world, and I need to share God's word with him before he's off into the world. And so he started having a Bible study, began at Genesis, and started going through the Bible with his son. Because the only other option was the state church. The Russian state church, communist church, thought that God was dead and that it was all foolishness and that the communist way was the only way, the true way, that to paradise, the workers' paradise. And so his son told somebody, and then that friend was like, I'd like to learn too, take my Bible study. And so one by one the word gets around, and so that one child becomes two, and then three, and then four, and eventually this man, he's just a factory worker, had the only Bible in town, and started teaching the Bible. Eventually had 50 people in his house until the communist authorities got wind of what he was doing, and he was arrested because he was holding unauthorized services. Got accused of being a Western spy and preaching things that went against the communist way. And so he's in jail, though his only crime was being a Christian. And he thought, well, he was going to continue being who he was. And what he would do every day is sing a song. He called him his heart song, which it was in Russian. So I would think if I was in that position, I would say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. That would be my heart song. And so he would sing it every day, and here he's the only Christian out of 1,500 other criminals. He got put in the worst jail with the worst men, and he got yelled at every time because he would sing at night. He's in jail, and the whole jail could hear him sing. And what he would do also is that he would get his 1 hour of yard time so he could get some exercise. And God provided a little piece of paper every day that would flow in the wind. And something to write with, a piece of coal, piece of dirt, whatever that would write. And he would grab that piece of paper and write a Bible verse and post it on the wall. And then the prisoners would come and see what he had written, and that's how he would preach. Just one verse a day, but that cost him dearly because the prison guards did not want him to do that, and they would beat him. And bloody and bruised, he would get up the next morning after singing all night and then post his Bible verse. And that's how he preached. And the authorities got so mad at him that they were going to execute him. They said, you're incorrigible. We're going to execute you. So they took him out to the yard one day and they were going to shoot him. And as he's being led into the courtyard with all 1,500 other prisoners seeing him being led to his execution as an example, the rifles get leveled and he's going to get shot. And all of a sudden, 1,500 voices started singing out, praise God from whom all blessings flow. He had 1,500 converts. And the singing was so beautiful and so glorious that it scared the prison guards. And they actually took him inside and put him back in his cell because they could not fight the power of God's glory that day. And eventually he was even released and allowed to go back home. So what I've learned is when you face opposition, you will go back to basics. Someday we may not have this word available to us. We might be in a prison. We don't know how the future is going to go. but the basics still hold. God is in control and he's got it all taken care of. We have a home waiting for us in heaven no matter what happens. But also when you don't know what to do, fall down straight on your knees. Fall down, straight down on your knees. Pray, sing. It's just amazing how when you don't know what to do and you start singing, how that changes your heart. It just changes your being. Read God's word, because what happens early on when you're going into your knee level and hip level, you can still be carried by different currents and drowned. But if you know God's word and you're reading into it, then you know truth. And no matter what man may say, you know truth. So read your word, pray, sing, choose God above men. And that's what Peter and John did, because he is true and he is right. And also, I think what something we realize is that God can use anybody. Here's these men that are uneducated, Peter and John, and they're preaching the gospel as if they were college-educated men, but it was the Holy Spirit that did it. So if you see me standing here, it's just proof that God can use anybody to point to him. And you, I do it from here, I do it at home, and you do it where you are. And God will give you the ability to share his love, and it's going to be different. You know, for that man, it was a piece of coal and a piece of paper on the wall. And for you, it's going to be a kind act. However God leads you to help others and to share the good news. There's never enough time. There's never enough time to share God's good news. So I appreciate you. I love you. You are dear and special to me, each and everyone here. And every time I come, I see your children get older and bigger and your life just blossom. And we can all point to something good that God has done. So no matter what happens, I just encourage you, and I can tell you that it's always better when you let God do it for you.
Amen. Joshua, Kina, thanks for coming. We love you guys too. Thanks for sharing. We appreciate your honesty and openness to share the word. We've been encouraged today to rely on God, to rely on each other, the church, and that as we swim, maybe it's more like treading water that we need to do as God moves us around and puts us where he wants us to do his work. So maybe we be encouraged this week to go out and do that. And we would just ask someone to select a hymn.
Oh, Dear Holy Father, we just want to humble ourselves before you in this your Lord's Day, and thank the dear brothers that brought forth the truth of thy word, and that we might be touched and our hearts could be changed, and that we could draw closer to thee, understanding that all things are made possible through Jesus Christ. And Father, what a blessing it is to be able to have the freedom to come into this house, into thy holy sanctuary, and hear the truth of the word. May we just take it up, and may we just grow in our spiritual faith that you provide for us. So bless this congregation, bless all that come forth to hear thy truth, and those that touch those that haven't found the light yet, Father, that the light might appear to them, and they might come and fall on their knees before thee. So thank you for this day. Be with us on this week, understanding that you brought forth thy Son, Jesus Christ, that made all things possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.